Well, here we are in Easter towards Pentecost, and sometimes in this part of the year we think about the work of the Holy Spirit, which we've been doing for the last few Sunday mornings. And today I want to just take that a bit further and think about one of the names of the Spirit as our helper. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is our helper. Something on the screen, Dave? You know, you get so fascinated with what I'm saying. You know, you just... Sorry? No reading. Reading coming in this. Oh, that's where you were waiting, was it? I see. He's an excellent person on the projector. No, he is. Absolutely excellent. So, there we go then. The Holy Spirit, our helper, or my helper. I think all of us like people who help us. The person who comes alongside us and says, you know, this is how you do it. And then they don't just speak quickly, but they help us. They might even show us how to do something. In these days of technology, such people are really valuable. One of the people that now help us in the church, Joel Schofield, he's just great sometimes on technological things. And I'll be sitting at the computer and he's standing behind me and he'll say, now do this. And it's good to find your way into a world that seemed really complicated that can become your world because somebody has helped you to do that. So one of the names of the Holy Spirit is our helper. And Jesus says that the Holy Spirit helps us in five different ways. Probably more than that, but I'm concentrating on three texts where Jesus talks about this. So here's the reading. They're in the PowerPoint this morning. Let's see them on the screen. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. That's John 14:26. And then in John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness to me. And John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and will declare to you the things that are to come. So from those three verses, we see that the Holy Spirit will teach, remind, testify, guide, and show. He will teach them all things. He will remind them of the words of Jesus. He will testify about Jesus. He will guide them into all truth. And he will show them the things that are to come. Now, when I was preparing this talk, I found there was a bit of an overlap between teaching them all things and guiding them into all truth. And so I've decided to just talk very briefly about the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to teach us all things, and when we get to guide into all truth, spend a bit longer on trying to explain how he just puts truth into us, what we might call Christian doctrine, and to have an assurance about that. So what is our relationship with the Holy Spirit? He is personal. The Bible calls him he and not it, because the Holy Spirit is personal to us. He wants to teach us, remind us, testify for us, guide us, and show us all things which are to come. I thought I would just use the Apostle Peter as an example of someone who was doing all of these things. And then we'll look at the five areas after that. So, for example, here's the Apostle Peter. And on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, he was able to understand by the Holy Spirit that this is what Joel had said. Joel was an Old Testament prophet who spoke hundreds of years before, and he prophesied about the day of Pentecost. And so Peter, through the Spirit, was able to interpret that this was what Joel had said. And when he was at the house of a Roman centurion called Cornelius, and he saw the Holy Spirit falling upon Gentile people, again he was able to understand that the Spirit was guiding him into the truth of that moment and what Jesus had said about it earlier on. And when Peter had to stand before the Jewish hierarchy, the Sanhedrin, we're told that the Holy Spirit filled him and Peter testified powerfully about Jesus. And when the two people in the church who were trying to deceive Ananias and Sapphira, and they were saying they were giving more money than they were actually giving, the Holy Spirit showed Peter the truth of the matter, the deceit of these early disciples, and also showed them what was going to happen to them. So these are a number of ways in which the Holy Spirit wants to be alongside us. That's literally what paraclete means, somebody who comes alongside us. Somebody wants to help us and be alongside us in the things that we are doing. So to think about these five areas then. First of all, he will teach us all things. I like to think that the Holy Spirit, as someone who is with us in the everyday life experiences that we have, and he's trying to teach us to see things from God's point of view and to learn the ways of God. He teaches us about ourselves, and he also gives us insights into the true nature of what God is like. I remember when I was in Jerusalem some years ago, and I noticed that there were a group of men, young men, who were walking very closely to an older man. I mean, they were sort of embarrassingly close to this man as they were walking on the road. And then I discovered that this man was the rabbi, and these were his disciples. And the job of the disciple was to stay very close to the rabbi, listening to all that he was saying, so that they could be taught by him. Well, this is a perfect example of what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. We stay close to the Holy Spirit so that he can teach us all things. In this particular life, before we get to heaven, we are not going to graduate, because there is always fresh things to learn. It's also probably worth saying under this point that we will be taught best if we have a teachable spirit. If we are ready and willing to come to God, offering ourselves in humility to him, then we are more likely to learn the things of God. God loves that sort of heart attitude towards him. So in a very general sense, that's the first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to help us and teach us all things. And then secondly, he will remind us of his words, of the words of Jesus and the words of Scripture. We're told in the Bible a few times, then they remembered what Jesus had said. They hadn't understood at the time about the cross and the resurrection, but afterwards they remembered what he had said, and it fell into place for them. The Holy Spirit has the ability to bring to our remembrance things that we have heard or read in the past. And one of the reasons that we encourage people in this church to immerse themselves in Scripture is because the more we can read it and understand it, the more opportunity the Holy Spirit has to bring it back to our remembrance. If we haven't read it, then he can't draw on the knowledge, because we have not made it knowledge within our minds and our hearts. It is possible, of course, for the Holy Spirit to just give something into our thinking and point us to a text that we have no knowledge of ourselves, because he can do that. Or he might unearth a thought from the past which is useful to us. By and large, the tested method is that as we know Scripture, the Holy Spirit can bring these things to our remembrance. I was taking a Thanksgiving service here 3 or 4 weeks ago. An older lady who'd been part of our church for a few years since she moved to this area. She was called Bubbles. And as I was preparing that, I wondered what to say in the address. And I just felt the Lord say to me, there are three pictures in 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 2. And the three pictures, and I think those three pictures just fit Bubbles' life. She was an athlete, she loved growing things, and her husband was in the Navy. And it speaks about an athlete, it speaks about somebody who grows things, a farmer, and it speaks about somebody who's in the armed forces in that particular passage. And so I was able to speak about her life quite naturally, but also to root that in the things of Scripture, doing justice to the way that she'd lived, but also doing justice to the way that God would want to speak to us. The Lord helps us with these things. He brings back to our remembrance things that can be a blessing to us or a blessing for other people. And then thirdly, it says that the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. He will testify about Jesus. There are lots of illustrations of this in the New Testament. For example, the Jews could not withstand the wisdom of Stephen. Stephen, the one who was the first martyr, he was being put under a lot of pressure, and as he spoke, it said the people could not withstand the wisdom with which he spoke by the Spirit. That Acts 6 verse 10. And when Philip, the evangelist, was preaching in Samaria, we're told that the people paid close attention to what he said. As a result, many of them turned to Christ. That's Acts chapter 8, verse 6. So let me try and explain how I think this works, how the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus. When we speak about the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes those words and reinforces the truths of them. We are testifying about Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is also testifying, but he only testifies because we are testifying. Now, we can leave it to him, and because of his grace, he goes directly to people at times, but the method he likes to use most of all is that as we testify to the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes our testimony and reinforces it in people's lives. When we're giving such words to other people, we might feel rather silly. I know I've felt that many times. And we might think we're making no impression whatsoever on this particular person. But we take confidence in the fact that as we testify, he is also testifying. So let me just share one or two stories how this might be the case. It may be, for example, that somebody is having a recurring dream and they don't quite know what to do with the dream. It might be a bit of a nightmare or whatever, or it might be just a dream they don't understand and they can go to another Christian they may not be a Christian at this point, and then the Christian just can say, well, actually, I think that dream means this. That's very common, actually, in the Middle Eastern world today. I was just reading one just this last week, and it was someone who'd been brought up within Islam, and he was having a recurring dream of being strapped to a bed and really sort of chained to this bed. And the words were, this is what Islam will continue to do to you. That's quite a statement, but that's what came in the dream. And he came across some Christians, and the Christians said, you know, Jesus Christ has power when you pray to him. And every night he was having this dream, he couldn't get rid of it. And so he prayed, Jesus, if you have power, stop this dream. That night he... And then eventually he became a wonderful follower of Jesus. He has led hundreds, thousands to Christ, actually, in Uganda. And more recently he's been very badly treated. Someone threw acid all over him. And there were some militant Islamists, and he's still going to do the work. He's got a very disfigured face now. Sometimes what we say to a person, it's as though the Holy Spirit takes that sentence with an unbeliever and just constantly reinforces it. Because maybe they've been shocked by something you've said. You might have said, you know, I had no interest in Christianity, but I went to this church and this, whatever it might be that comes out of that. And then the person you've told them, they just can't get that thought out of their mind. The Holy Spirit's just reinforcing it. I remember the lady who came to Christ eventually in our last church, and somebody had said to her, when her daughter was very ill, she said, "Can I pray for your daughter?" And as she prayed for her daughter, actually her daughter got a lot better. But when she first said, "Can I pray for your daughter?" she said, "What do you want to pray for my daughter for? What's that going to do?" But you see, the thought just lingers. The Holy Spirit takes these things. And we don't know what's happening in the person, but they lock it. The Holy Spirit locks it into their thinking and eventually into their hearts. I hope we're getting the point here, you see. As we testify, the Holy Spirit testifies. But he's less likely to testify if we don't testify. Today is what you call Aldersgate Sunday. And I was a Methodist before I was a Baptist, so I know all about Aldersgate Street, which was the time when John Wesley became a Christian. He became a Christian on May 24th, 1738. But before he became a Christian, he met the Moravians. And the Moravians talked about faith and the inner assurance. He'd been trained in Christian things, he'd become a vicar in the Church of England, but he hadn't got it. But when he spoke to the Moravians and heard their stories, he couldn't get away from it. Holy Spirit kept reinforcing it in his heart. Now, dear people, I know some of us don't like this because we just don't like testifying. We feel foolish. But this is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. As we testify, then he will testify. And then fourthly, it says he will guide us into all truth. Guide us into all truth. The syllabus of the Holy Spirit is a long course. The Holy Spirit's work is not just to lead us into the truth of history or geography or astronomy or mathematics, interesting as those things are. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us into all truth concerning the mysteries of the kingdom. He gives us assurance that Christian doctrine, he gives us assurance about Christian doctrine so that we can have that truth in our hearts with reality. So why do we have such convictions about Jesus? Why can we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he's coming back again one day? Why do we have those convictions? Because the Holy Spirit has taught us, he's guided us into the truth of them. There was a very lovely service here on Friday, and someone who used to be a member of our church, Helen Turner, before they moved to Wallingham, her Thanksgiving service. It was a wonderful occasion, actually. And the minister leading the service, David Abernathy, he was making this very point that I'm making now. He spoke from a passage in 1 Thessalonians, and he talked about these believers who believed in Jesus, who believed in the resurrection, who believed in the second coming of Jesus. Those were the things that were mentioned in the passage. And he was saying that, why do we believe these things? How do we know that they're true? Because the Holy Spirit has caused them to be a reality for us. So what's the process here? Here's a quote on the screen by John Owen. It says, "Who will the Holy Spirit teach? He will teach those who are meek and humble, those who give themselves to continual prayer, meditation and study in God's word day and night, and those who strive to conform their lives to the truths he instructs them in. Because these are hard conditions to flesh and blood, our human nature, there are few who apply to study in the school of God." Now let me help you a bit further on this one. In Greek, there's a word for knowledge, which is gnosis. So agnostic, for example. You can see where that's come from. Gnosis means knowledge. But when the New Testament talks about the knowledge of the heart, when it talks about just that truth out here, that actually gets to be truth in here, it uses a different word. It adds a little prefix, and it's epignosis. Epignosis, which I suppose could be translated acknowledgement, that we've acknowledged that that is true for us as well. And this word implies giving our minds the power and force of the truth, transforming the soul and all its desires, bringing the full assurance of understanding to the mind itself. So there are a number of texts that I could mention at the moment which uses this particular word, epignosis, to make this point. Being fully assured in the will of God. Colossians 1:9, for example. That's what the word means there, to be fully assured in the will of God. How can we know that? How can we know that? Because the Holy Spirit has given us that sort of knowledge. We're not getting proud of ourselves. We don't think we're brilliant people. We don't feel better than anybody else. That's not what it's about. It's simply understanding what the Holy Spirit was given for, so that we can be people who can rest secure in the things that God has done for us. And then finally, to show them the things to come. To show them the things to come. NIV reads, to declare to you what is yet to come. And Jesus, when he spoke this word, is probably thinking about the cross and the resurrection, because he hasn't died yet. But they're going to happen. And he wants to show them that these things are going to happen. I believe that it implies that the Holy Spirit can give us access to knowing certain events that are still future. So we get a sense and a knowledge and an assurance of what is going to happen. He wants to show us these things to come. This was happening in the New Testament. So for example, there was a prophet called Agabus in Acts chapter 11. And he said that there was a famine coming to that part of the world where they were. And sure enough, later, the famine came, but they had time to prepare for it. Likewise, in the Old Testament, we see that with Moses. Is it Moses? No, who was it? Was it Moses? Joseph. Sorry, I've only been a pastor for 30 years now. Joseph, that's right. Joseph, that's him. And also, Agabus was able to talk to Paul. And he said to Paul, when you get to Rome, you are going to face almost unbearable difficulties. He hasn't got to Rome yet. Rome's going to happen in the future. But Agabus is seeing the things that are to come. It happens today. Recently, I read that book by the Vicar of Baghdad. And he tells some tremendous stories, actually. But he says these things are very commonplace for believers in Baghdad. The Holy Spirit is constantly warning the Christians there about not to go to that place. Because if you go to that place, this might happen to you. I mean, there's been a lot of death and disaster. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to his church because he's showing us about things that are to come. And the Vicar of Baghdad tells the story of one day when he was in church. He's got a very large church. And over there on the right, there was a person in the congregation. And he'd never done this before, and he's never done it since. He just looked at the person and he thought, we need to get that person out of the building. So he talked to the stewards, and they ushered this person out of the building. And when they got him outside, they discovered that he was a suicide bomber, strapped with all the stuff. Why he didn't pull the cord when they came to him, I don't know. Holy Spirit shows us things that we haven't seen yet. Everything I've said today is New Testament. I'm not making it up. And we are believers in Jesus. And he has given us the Holy Spirit. And so these things can be true for us in our lives as well. And if we haven't started the walk yet, God loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And the best thing that he would want for you is that you open your hearts and turn to him, so he can instruct you in the things that I've been sharing today.